This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum, Quran Weekly. This is Hala Banani. Today I'm going to discuss how to remain in a happy marriage. The one thing that you can do to stay happily married, inshallah. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. Wal ya'fu wal yasfahu ala tuhibbuna an yaghfirallahu lakum wallahu ghafurun rahim. Let them pardon and overlook. Would you not like that Allah should forgive you? And Allah is forgiving and merciful. It is inevitable that you're going to face issues and problems and may argue with your spouse. I know it's hard to imagine if you're just newly married, you can't imagine ever getting into a dispute with your spouse, but it will eventually happen. And when it does happen, then it's going to be critical for you to be able to forgive. We all talk about forgive and forget, but what does that really entail? And how can we take this forgiveness, what Allah has taught us, what He's encouraged us to do, and make our marriage long-lasting? Because as the years go on, as we face more experiences in our life, we're bound to make mistakes. We may say things that we hurt our spouse's feelings. We may do things that are unforgivable. Yet, if you learn the act of forgiving, then you can keep your marriage going on strong for many years, inshallah. There is a damaging effect of holding a grudge. Most people, when they get into some kind of a fight or a dispute, they hold on to it and they just are not able to forgive and let go. What happens is that, first of all, it destroys your inner peace. It ruins your relationship. So let's say you had a fight with your spouse. Maybe it was over raising the kids. Maybe it was an in-law issue. Maybe it was because you just couldn't see eye to eye on the decisions you were making. But if you hold on to it and you keep reminding your spouse about it, it's going to ruin your relationship. Maybe you're spouse got weak and made a mistake, said something that was wrong. And if you constantly remind them of this act and you constantly hold this grudge, your relationship will erode. And what happens a lot of times is that you're bringing up the past, so you're living in the past. You're no longer mindful of the present. You are angry and sad and upset about something that may have happened years ago, and you're missing out on this very precious present that you have. And so it also weighs you down emotionally. You are carrying all this baggage and it makes you depressed. I can't tell you the number of clients that come in and that they are not able to let go. They're carrying these baggages of these emotional baggages and they're upset, they're frustrated, they are bitter and resentful, and it's affecting every aspect of their life. First and foremost, it's affecting themselves. They have lost their peace. They are no longer happy individuals. They're depressed and bitter, and they're negative, very pessimistic. So you have to be very careful that you don't hold a grudge, and it really messes up your iman. What I would like to describe is, let's say if your heart is seen as a vase, and the hole inside this vase is the grudge, and the water that you're pouring into this vase is your good deeds. How far can you get in filling up this vase if there's a big hole at the bottom, right? So this is what happens to you when you are holding a grudge, when you're angry at your spouse because of something they said, or you're frustrated from your in-laws, whatever it is, then this is going to eat away at you all the time. So you got to let go of the emotion, let go of the baggage, and restore the vase, cover the hole, and be able to, so that way you can fill your vase full of good deeds. You can fill your heart full of good deeds, and nothing will take away from it. It's really a decision that you have to make when someone hurts you, when someone lies to you or cheats on you, whatever it is that they do to upset you, you have the decision to make. Are you going to be a victim or are you going to be a victor? Are you going to play that victim role where you feel sorry for yourself, you're bitter and you're angry and you have a pity party for yourself? Or are you going to be the individual who rises up to the occasion, who forgives, who moves on and feels empowered? What are you going to choose? الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. Those who spend in the cause of Allah during ease and hardship and who restrain their anger and who pardon the people, Allah loves the doer of good. Those who spend, many times when we talk about yunfiqun is that we usually refer to spending wealth and giving charity, but it could also refer to giving generously of your love, of your time, of your affection. So sarra, which comes from the word sir, which is secret, giving in secret. Now, when you give in secret, of course, that can apply to the charity, giving that in secret, but it also could refer to how you treat your spouse and kids behind closed door when no one else is looking, right? Because a true sign of a believer is that he acts the same behind closed doors as he does in front of others. And if you are kind and gentle to a person who cannot benefit you, that is when you're able to give in secret. Dara is giving openly. Giving openly, of course, in charity, and also treating your family with kindness and respect outside of the home to set an example and to be a good role model. I always tell my kids that when we go out as a family, we are being watched as a Muslim family. We need to act as a model family to do the da'wah with our actions, with our behavior. And I remember actually when we were in Malaysia, I had left the kids at the pool hotel and we had something to do. And I told the kids, be really aware of your surroundings. Don't disrupt people. There was a young couple that was spending time there and I didn't want them to be disrupted or their peace to be messed up. So after the kids spent time in the pool, I ran into the husband and wife and the husband is like, are you the mother of the kids in the pool? I was like, oh, what did they do? And I said, yes, I am. He's like, they were amazing. They were so loving to each other. They were so kind. And he asked, and this is a non-Muslim, he's like, what are you feeding them spiritually? What have you given them that they're so kind and loving to each other? And it was incredible how we ran into this couple several times and he repeated that. He repeated how the way they treated each other, alhamdulillah, mashallah, tabarakallah, was an example for him. And it made him be impressed with the way he was being raised spiritually. And I told the kids, I'm like, you see, people are watching, they're listening. So you really have to be aware of how you're acting in public because that's the biggest and most profound da'wah that you can do. And it's easy to put on a show for others for a few hours. And you find that with hypocrites, there's a huge difference. There's a discrepancy between their behavior when people are around and when they're alone. So we really need to try to close this gap between how we act when we are alone or when we are with our family and what is our public image. How do we act in front of others? كاذبين الغيظ. This is about holding back your anger. You know, anger damages relationship. I remember having a client from New Zealand and he had come in. He was a non-Muslim and he wanted help with his anger issue. And he had actually gotten arrested for acting out. He had road rage. There was domestic violence. And so he wanted to learn how to take control over that. And he had said that his anger had actually, it had ruined his life. It ruined his marriage. It ruined his job because many times he would react to his customers and they would never come back again. So it can really destroy all your relationships in your life. And one of the ways that I, you know, worked with him was about about letting go of all of these things and putting it into perspective. I mean, is it really that important? Who gets to the light first? Is it really that important when things don't go your way? You know, be able to let go. And through a lot of these anger management, he actually became such a pleasant and mellow guy. It was really incredible, the transformation that he went through. You know, it really, this anger destroys your iman. When you lash out at others and you hurt their feelings, this is something you can't take back. Once you utter those words, then there's no way of taking it back. So true strength is being able to control your anger. Like the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he asked the Sahaba, who is the strongest person? And the Sahaba answered, the one who wrestles his opponent to the ground. And he said, actually, the one who is strongest is the one who can control his anger, because it really takes a lot of self-control. And I have the utmost respect for individuals who could be in a very difficult situation. They could be really under fire and yet they hold back, because that is a true test of character. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned us three times. He warned us three times against anger, because it's so important. You ruin relationships. You can end up sinning. You can gossip. You can hurt feelings. And so that's why he put so much emphasis on it. And there are psychological and biological effects of anger. If we're constantly in that state of anger, it's going to start affecting us biologically. We're going to get stressed out. We're going to have high blood pressure. And even psychologically, we're never going to feel at peace. So we really need to learn how to control our anger. Afina anil nas. This is the forgiveness, forgiving the people. Forgiveness restores relationship. So I had a situation where a couple came in and the husband had made a mistake. It was really a big mistake, but the wife decided that she is going to overlook. She is going to overlook this mistake and restore the marriage. And it's amazing how forgiveness can be one of the biggest emotional deposits that you can make, because we have a bank account with each person and we need to make daily deposits. And one of the deposits you can make is being able to forgive and to let go. And the key of letting go is not bringing it up over and over again. You know, as women, we're notorious for doing this, bringing things back from 10 years ago. We really need to let go of that and make sure that when we say we forgive, we don't bring back the past. And if you're able to have the ability to restore your relationship, it will be incredible. I remember being in a conference actually in Malaysia, thousands of people there, and I told them, take this moment. The talk was on forgiveness. And I said, take this moment right now. Close your eyes. Think of someone. Think of someone you just boil inside when you think about them, that they've wronged you in some way and you've been holding a grudge. I want you to just forgive them. You don't even have to move a muscle, right? It is just a thought and a feeling. Something so simple, but has such a profound impact on your peace, on your relationship, on your status with Allah. And we did that. And at the end, a sister came up to me. She goes, sister, you know, right before I came to this conference, I had a fight with my husband. I was so furious and I was so mad. I was ready to go back and, you know, just duke it out with him. And when you told me to forgive him, it's like, it's all gone. It's like, I just gave it up and I want to go back and I want to get something for him and go back to him. So subhanAllah, a simple act of forgiveness can restore relationships. And it can even restore sisterhood and brotherhood. I think we take these relationships so lightly. We blacklist someone. We decide that we're never going to deal with them again over a small misunderstanding. Our sisterhood and brotherhood has to be so much stronger than that. We have to be able to withstand. We need to make excuses for each other, because a lot of times we make mistakes knowingly or unknowingly. And if for every little thing we cut ties and we blacklist someone, there's not going to be anyone left. You're going to have that one friend that you're going to hold on to. What about the sisterhood? What about that brotherhood? And forgiveness restores communities. You find that a lot of time misogynists, they dispute over differences of opinion and they can never unite. So we really, as an ummah, we need to unite. We need to forgive, overlook the mistakes of others, and really focus on forgiving and forgetting. Allahu yuhibbu al-muhsinin. So when we do something wrong, when you follow a bad deed with a good deed, then you correct yourself and set the balance in the right direction, right? I always tell my kids, you know, if you did something wrong, the thing you need to do, first of all, quickly make tawbah and then immediately follow up with a good deed, because that bad deed counts as one bad deed. It's like one X, right? But then the good deed, you have no idea. It could count up to 700 times. So you will definitely set things in the right direction for you. And when you hurt your spouse, follow it up with an apology and a kind act. A lot of times people have avoidance behavior. They don't like to apologize. They don't like to admit they're wrong. Well, this is when a person needs to either man up or woman up. We need to take responsibility for our actions and we need to own it, right? You make a mistake, own it, ask for forgiveness, and then move on. And then ask, how can I make this better? If you're sincerely asking how you can make things better, then you will definitely, you'll restore the relationship. And act according to how Allah sees you, not according to your spouse. A lot of times people hold these grudges. You don't know how awful he is. He's just such a jerk. Or you don't know, she is just a monster. She gives me such a hard time. And they're not willing to take that step for their spouse. So I tell them, don't focus on your spouse, right? This is that horizontal relationship. Focus on the vertical relationship. Focus on your relationship with Allah. Focus on raising your ranks with Allah through the love and the forgiveness that you show your spouse for his sake. And I have had clients that they will come. I remember this one client actually was referred by a psychiatrist and he called me and said, you know what, just help this couple with their divorce because now I've worked with them. There's no helping this couple. And right before I had the therapy session, the daughter's mother called me. She was an acquaintance and she told me, you know what? I think the best thing for them is divorce. Just get them separated. I said, I haven't even seen them. Let me at least work with them. Let me hear their case. And so we started working together and I saw that they definitely had a lot of issues and they were very stuck in their relationship and they had only been married a few years. But subhanAllah, the moment when I introduced not only these, you know, this concept, but a lot of the other concepts about improving their marriage, a lot of the concepts that I teach in the five pillars of marriage, when they started learning that and applying it, their marriage started changing. The pivotal point was when they understood the concept of loving for the sake of Allah, doing things for his sake, not whether if my husband's good to me, I'm good to him. If he's nice, I'm nice. If he's mean, I'm mean. None of that. It was about, I want to please Allah. And when you give that kind of love, when you are sincerely giving for his sake, then Allah puts barakah in that relationship. Then you're not being petty. You're not being immature. You're not sitting there and making a mountain out of a molehill. And the ways of asking for forgiveness. First of all, you have to make tawbah, right? Because in these relationships, we can make a lot of mistakes. And I find that clients come in, they may be very practicing, they may be very devout, they may be giving so much to the masjid and their community, but they're making huge mistakes in their marriage. And one of the first things I get clients to do is to make tawbah. Ask for forgiveness for all the things you've done knowingly and unknowingly. And you need to ask for forgiveness from your spouse or whoever it is that you hurt. Don't be too proud. You know, this one illness of the heart, pride, can destroy all relationships. If you're too proud to admit that you're wrong, if you're too proud to ask for forgiveness, forget it. You're going to be in a state of constant struggle and constant fighting. When one of you is able to take that important step and ask for forgiveness, then imagine the blessing that you will get. Imagine the reward you go. So Allah says, you know, you need to race, right? You need to race towards forgiveness. So instead of thinking, well, I'm not going to say it if he's not going to say it, have that feeling like, I want to beat my spouse to it. I want to beat him to it so I can get all the edger. And when you do that, you find that your relationships will be so connected and so strong. Make sure that you forget and don't bring it up. I know that you don't completely forget. It's somewhere in the back of your mind. But the idea is, don't bring it up. Don't say, oh, you made this mistake. You said this. You did that. Because imagine if someone kept bringing up your mistakes. You're not perfect. You made mistakes as well. You said things that were wrong. You may have done the wrong thing. So try to overlook so that Allah will overlook you, right? So if we forgive others, then Allah will forgive us, inshallah. And forgive yourself. Some people have a very easy time asking forgiveness. They apologize immediately, but they can't forgive themselves. They beat themselves up for mistakes that they have made. You need to just be able to let go of that as well. We all make mistakes. The door of Tawbah is always open. And if you are able to forgive others and forgive yourself, then inshallah, Allah will forgive you. The benefits of forgiveness is, first of all, you have internal peace. When you're able to forgive something that your spouse did, then you're able to have that inner peace. You're going to have better relationships. You're not holding on to the grudge and bringing it up and living a miserable life. And you have a happier home. And if you work on this, and I know it's hard, I know it's about giving up the pride, and it's about taking responsibility of something that you have done, take ownership of it, ask for forgiveness. And if you do, you will definitely be able to, inshallah, restore your marriage, restore your relationships, and have a very positive impact on your marriage, inshallah.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.